HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. Former President Donald Trump posted several hours ago that he's accepted an offer from Fox News to debate Vice President Harris. Harris had said last month that she was ready for a Fox debate, but there has been no official response. In a virtual roll call, Democratic delegates voted to select Harris as the party's nominee for president Friday, coming as she's in the final stage of choosing her running mate.
This has all been condensed for Vice President Harris because her time as nominee is very condensed given the way this all played out. But we do know that her team has been vetting six candidates who seem to be on that short list, that upper tier. That's not to say there aren't more than six people in the running.
CBS News correspondent Weijia Jiang. Trump will campaign in Georgia Saturday with his running mate, as WSB radio reporter Jonathan O'Brien tells us.
Just 4 days after Vice President Kamala Harris held a rally at the same arena, the Trump-Vance ticket will make their pitch to voters. Among the speakers during the rally is Lieutenant Governor Burt Jones, who tells me recent political developments have fired people up.
I think there's going to be a lot of motivated people on both sides, no question. It always is. Both sides have a solid base.
Jones says the campaign's winning message will focus on issues he feels are important to voters like immigration and inflation. Recent polls show the race is closer in Georgia with Harris at the top of the Democratic ticket. Jonathan O'Brien for CBS News, Atlanta.
Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin has canceled a plea agreement with the accused mastermind of the 9/11 terror attacks, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, and two other defendants, which puts the death penalty back on the table.
The three men have been held at the U.S. military prison at Guantanamo Bay since their capture in 2003. Following news of a plea deal, the U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said he decided to remove from the case the military official who oversaw the court and facilitated the agreement. In a statement, he said he determined that in light of the significance of the decision to enter into pretrial agreements with the accused, responsibility for such a decision should rest with him.
The BBC's Peter Bowes reporting. The U.S. is boosting its military presence in the Middle East, sending a fighter jet squadron there and keeping an aircraft carrier in the region. BBC's Jenny Hill reports from Israel on rising tension.
There have been a number of similar moments since Israel launched its war on Gaza following the attacks of October the 7th, when it looked as though that war could explode into a much wider conflict. But this is, without doubt, a very dangerous, a very significant moment. And we understand that urgent diplomacy is going on to try to diffuse the tension.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. The average American family will spend about $875 on school supplies this year. As Mike Moan reports, donation drives are underway to help families with limited budgets.
Organizations like Family Pathways help low-income households overcome these expenses. The group's Clarissa Zemke says there's a lot of demand for help and fewer people have extra money to donate supplies. For those that do, she hopes they keep in mind the many things students need to have a successful year. Beyond markers and notebooks, certain tech accessories are needed.
Headphones are a big thing, I think, on pretty much every list from elementary on up. And a lot of things that we're seeing right now, especially for the older kids, is USB flash drives.
Many schools provide Chromebooks, but organizers say they see a lot of wear and tear over the year. Graphing calculators for high schoolers can help households on a limited budget still have money for other necessities. Nonprofits say gym shoes and other clothing items should be considered, especially since kids can outgrow them fairly quickly. Zach Spiroff with Resource West in the Twin Cities West Metro region says when planning a donation, you're encouraged to consider getting something new and avoid hand-me-downs.
Trying to get back in a memory from your youth and how exciting it is to go to school with new stuff and feel good about yourself.
He says that confidence can indicate these students feel supported by their community, allowing them to focus on learning and achieving better outcomes. Monetary donations are welcome too. That allows aid groups to help more of these households with daily living expenses, giving them extra wiggle room for back-to-school shopping. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Heat and humidity continues this weekend before cooler and less humid weather arrives next week. Clear and a low around 60 tonight. Sunny, hot and humid, and a high in the mid-80s tomorrow. Isolated showers and storms Saturday night and Sunday. High again mid-80s, cooler 70s next week. Currently at 64 degrees.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. We'll take a look back at the news of the weekend. Has Kamala Harris picked her VP? Or is it still to come? Find out Monday.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Jane says. Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach is here. So is Calvin Butenhoff, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. It is the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon hates, if you are still calling it Twitter. Lots of things coming up in the show. Dan Schaefer will be here at 10:33. We will do some recombobulating with Dan from the recombobulation area. Next hour, we will lighten things up a little bit at 11:33. It's August.
Yep.
The beginning of the end.
Womp, womp.
Beginning of the end of summer. So what are the last things you are going to squish in this month to make sure that your summer is finally complete? Start thinking about it now. We'll take your calls and your texts coming up at 11:33. Want to remind you, if you would like to come out and about, the Waukesha Farmers Market is tomorrow from 8 until noon. Civic Media will be there. I will be there. Come on down if you'd like to yell it. I mean, talk to me. I'd love to have a conversation with you. I really would. Look for the Civic Media tent at the Waukesha Farmers Market. I will be out there with David from 8 until noon, and I will buy you a scone. We can share a scone of peace over a cup of coffee.
I don't know, Jane. I'm feeling spicy today, so I kind of hope the spice flows for you on Saturday. Nothing bad, but I want, like...
I want to be nice to people. We can have a reasonable conversation.
I know you can.
Right?
You can.
Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Come.
Have scone of peace.
Have scone of peace. It'll be nice. 8 to noon tomorrow, Waukesha Farmers Market in the parking lot of the Waukesha State Bank, right along the Fox River. And we have a wheel of prizes now.
A whole wheel?
A whole wheel of prizes. You can win restaurant certificates. You can win Civic Media WAUK t-shirts. You can win State Fair tickets. So stop by tomorrow. I look forward to meeting you 8 to noon at the Waukesha Farmers Market.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it should be fun. We're going to start off with a little recap of Donald Trump's appearance at the National Association for Black Journalists that happened earlier this week.
Yeah.
And there's just some more background information now that's coming out a little bit about this appearance. Mm-hmm. And if we can, just to set it up, let's go back to the introduction.
The introduction, yes.
That Rachel Scott gave on, this was Tuesday.
Yeah, this is him coming out.
As the former president is coming out onto the stage. Calvin, let's play that clip, please.
We have a lot to get to, and we do not want to waste any time. So let's bring out the former president of the United States, the Republican nominee for president, former President Donald Trump. Hello. Prime Minister Trump, Rachel Scott,
ABC.
Thank you.
You can hear, hello, Mr. President. They're shaking hands.
Nice to meet you.
Introducing themselves.
Mr. President, we so appreciate you giving us an hour of your time. I want to start by addressing the elephant in the room, sir. A lot of people did not think it was appropriate for you to be here today. You have pushed false claims about some of your rivals, from Nikki Haley to former President Barack Obama, saying that they were not born in the United States, which is not true. You have told four congresswomen of color who were American citizens to go back to where they came from. You have used words like animal and rabid to describe black district attorneys. You've attacked black journalists, calling them a loser, saying the questions that they ask are, quote, stupid and racist. You've had dinner with a white supremacist at your Mar-a-Lago resort.
Nick Fuentes.
So my question, sir, now that you are asking black supporters to vote for you, why should black voters trust you after you have used language like that?
Well, first of all, I don't think I've ever been asked a question so in such a horrible manner.
What?
First question. You don't even say hello. How are
she
you?
Did.
Are you with ABC? Because I think they're a fake news.
She introduced herself as being with ABC. Yeah. So that was the horribly rude. And these are all things that he has said.
Yeah.
All she was simply doing was repeating his own statements back to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's important to remember that.
There's one other incident that she didn't bring up, Rachel Scott did not bring up, was the fact that at a press conference once he charged a black journalist with talking to the black women in Congress and all the people of color. Like, you should talk to them, get together. And like, no, that's not my job. You need to talk to them. That's just, it popped in my head of all the things she's reaching. All those things are true. None of those things are false. Regardless of what you may believe, those are all proven facts.
That he said those things, yes.
And those facts don't care about your feelings. And they brought him on the stage respectfully. They shook hands. You can hear it in the audio that it was all respectful. Rachel Scott is a journalist.
Yes.
And journalists need to handle the big questions. And if he can't handle those big questions himself, that says a lot about a guy who wants the most powerful job in the world.
Doesn't it, though?
Yeah.
The strongest, most genius.
Biggest brain.
Biggest brain, best body,
best
most
words.
Beautiful. All the best words, all the best people.
Can't handle criticism.
Can't handle addressing his own former statements.
Yeah, and I'll go a step further. It's the fact that it came from a black woman that
you
made
him
even more angry.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, we just want to replay this because it's getting a lot. It's getting, you know, there are a lot of people tweeting and posting and calling and saying all these things that these are the facts, people. These are the facts, folks. And you can be as angry as you want on the websites you get your information from. But this is that little piece tells you exactly what happened. It was respectful. It was professional. And he squirmed like a worm.
And now it's coming out because, of course, also during the course of this 34 minutes, it was supposed to be an hour long conversation. It was 34 minutes when his team pulled him off the stage.
Yes. Why was it 34 minutes, Jane?
It was 34 minutes. Remember, also during the course, he complained numerous times about the equipment. And
yes.
There were sound problems.
Yes.
And there were equipment problems. Mm. And that was the reason why he was late coming out. That was his excuse for the delay in getting on stage. And then he later slammed Rachel Scott again, like, it's your fault, the equipment doesn't work. Well, now it turns out, my friends, that the reason he refused to go on stage at the appointed time was because he didn't want the reporters to fact check him in real time. The former president blaming the delay of more than an hour on audio problems. The president of the National Association of Black Journalists says Trump's team asked organizers if the panel of black journalists could refrain from correcting his false statements. Trump's team said, quote, well, can you not fact check? He's not going to take the stage if you fact check, unquote. Lemon confirmed there were some audio problems. They were resolved very quickly. He said Trump refusing to go on stage for so long actually led them. He was ready to cut. He was crafting a statement explaining why the president would not be appearing because they refused to compromise on that. He was crafting the statement and getting ready to come out and release it to this audience of 2,000 journalists when Trump started walking out on stage.
Yep.
So, in my estimation, Trump was rattled because he knew he wasn't going to be walking into a Maria Bartiromo or Laura Ingraham or Sean Hannity interview.
A love fest.
A love fest where no one ever pushes back on anything he says, even blatant lies. Yeah, so I think he was rattled by the fact that, oh, you mean someone's going to actually hold me accountable for something I said? That's shocking.
Well, if Jake Tapper and CNN aren't going to do it, someone's going to start.
Seriously.
I mean, yeah. And that's the other thing, too, is you're just being a baby. I'm not going to go on stage, you fact. Then get out. Go away. We don't care then. If you won't be held accountable as a politician, as an American, as a person, as a guy who wants your old job back, then you don't. This says volumes about you. And the fact that you go on stage, like, we're late because of them. We were late because of them. When I was a little kid, I lied a lot. And what I never understood until later in life was that as you tell the lie, you never realize, oh, they're going to find out because you're not very good at this. But I got that realization when I was like 14. He's 78 years old and he still just tells these bold-faced lies. Like it's not going to take one, maybe two Google searches to find out why.
But the vast majority of his fans will never fact check that.
No.
Right, Calvin?
Well, yeah. And it's part of his strategy. It's own nothing, be as shameless as possible, and insult your way to the top.
Yeah. And in his defense and his whatever, it worked for him.
It's worked for him for decades.
He has fumbled and mumbled his way to this position of, like when he was famous when he was the host of The Apprentice, but now, like, it's disturbing fame and power he has because he has influence. He can get on the phone with world leaders who he
have
adores.
The nuclear codes again.
Yeah. So I mean, also the question is like, you know, Joe Biden's 80 years old. It took some cajoling and he took some working but he came to the realization he stepped down. I don't know. Is Donald Trump fit to be president?
Well, he said during that interview, of course, that he would immediately, if he felt he was slipping, Greg, he would take himself out of the race.
Oh,
I'm sure he would.
Yes. I mean, now that he has an opponent who is, you know, nearly 20 years younger than him.
Articulate.
Raised $310 million last year. $310 million last year. Who knows what will happen in the next few months? But yeah, I mean, I guess what I'm saying is that what's good enough for the goose is good enough for the gander. If Joe Biden has to look at it, why isn't Donald Trump being looked at like this?
Andrew, watching on the live stream in Maine with a good comment. Can anyone who feels the initial question was rude, please repeat it in a non-rude way?
That's a fantastic idea.
I would love to hear that.
Love to hear it. Please,
Mr.
please.
Mr. President, we are so graced by your majestic appearance today. I am so honored that you took time to talk to me, a lowly person. We're so happy you're here. Can I rub your neck for you?
And are you losing weight? Oh my God, you look good.
You look thinner.
Oh my goodness, what is that? The Atkins diet? I have no idea. Yeah, exactly. There's no way to do it. And it was, and there's no way to make it unrude because it was never rude in the first place.
It was not rude. She's a journalist.
Yeah.
She was doing her job.
Yep.
You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. Stay with us. Debate? What debate? Run away. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Babes, what are you doing?
What? I'm just mowing the lawn.
No, it's blazing hot and dry out here. Don't you remember? Smokey Bear says,
avoid using power equipment when it's windy or dry.
Where'd you learn this?
Oh, it's on
SmokeyBear.com with many other wildfire prevention tips.
Right. Thanks, Honey Bear.
Because remember, only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The host of American Ninja Warrior, Matt Eisman. When I first started watching Ninja Warrior, it was like, this guy was a track athlete. Now they train to be Ninja Warriors. It's like doing the Stairmaster to be better at the Stairmaster.
These were kids who grew up watching Ninja Warrior. They weigh 140 pounds. They don't have anything but muscle, and all they're doing is algebra homework, and they remind me how old I am.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842. If you're watching on the live stream, leave a comment on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the 10:30 news, Dan Schaefer will be here from the Recombobulation Area. I highly recommend you subscribe to the Recombobulation Area. Dan does an incredible job.
Yeah.
And especially during elections, and he looks at every single race in Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It takes a little time.
And if a politician insults him, he runs a sale off that insult. It's amazing.
And it usually works. Yes, it usually works. A reminder as well, primary election, August 13th. Yes, coming up very quickly. Very important election. There are two constitutional amendments on the ballot that we have talked about quite a bit. Essentially, in a very oversimplified way, this will take the power that the governor has to spend emergency federal dollars. It will take the power away from the governor and give it to the legislature.
Yep.
In essence.
Yep.
I personally am going to vote no.
Me too. In fact, I think I might go vote next week.
Oh, are you going to vote early?
I'm going to vote early.
Good for you.
Yep.
We were talking about best big-brained Donald Trump.
Fantastic words. My lord, as Calvin said.
Yes, we'll just call him a lord from now on. His appearance at the National Association for Black Journalists, and it turns out that one of the reasons why he got on stage late is because he didn't want to be fact-checked in real time. Okay. Tom from West Dallas on the text line listening here on WAUK. This did exactly what Trump wanted. It got him back in the news cycle. Since Kamala announced her run, he's been out of it. And in Trump's world, any publicity is good publicity. Excellent point.
It's absolutely true. I mean,
that's going to drive him crazier than anything, not being the center of attention.
And when you think about it, he's barely been in the news cycle since the RNC, because it was all Vance, all Kamala, the assassination attempt, which was him, but like it wasn't him. And if you don't know anything about this man, read Maggie Haberman's book about him. And you will know that when this focus isn't on him, when the attention isn't on him, he is probably in a torturous hellscape in his head. Because all things aside, that's the form, that's the empathy I have for him. This is a man who was raised by parents who never loved him, and he never knew how to get love, and it traded this. So when the intention's not on him, he is in pain probably. And yeah, it worked.
Yeah.
I thought we started talking about this story 2 weeks ago. We've been talking about it for 24 hours.
I know. News cycles are kind of exhausting.
Oh, right.
Well, now, of course, the bravest, the biggest, the most handsome, the coolest, the most successful person ever is now laying groundwork. And we kind of knew this was going to happen, that he is not going to debate Kamala Harris.
Nope.
Calvin, do we have that clip? It's not very long.
During my 4 years, nothing happened, and there was great pressure on me having to do with guns.
Nope, not that one. The one on debates.
Yeah, the Trump and the debates. He was talking, I believe, to Maria Bartiromo, one of his favorites.
Yeah.
On Fox News, because she's nice to him. She's not rude.
No.
She doesn't fact check him.
She knows how to talk to a man.
By listening.
Exactly.
Yeah, she listens well. Do we have that clip? All right, let's play this clip. Donald Trump talking about he doesn't need to debate.
They say, oh, Trump's, you know, not doing the debate. That's the same thing they'll say now. I mean, right now I say, why should I do a debate? I'm leading in the polls. And everybody knows her. Everybody knows me. She wants.
Well, you already know us all, both of us already. What more do you need?
Yeah.
I mean, why would we have to face off against each other.
He's leading in the polls, Jane. Calvin, why are we going to have elections at all? People know him.
And he's leading in the polls.
He's leading in the polls. People know him.
So we should just give it to him.
Here, the government. Excuse me, the government. I'm on the phone with the government right now. Can you just let him have the job? People know him. And he's in the polls. He's not ahead of the polls right now. Oh.
Yeah, that's what all I was going to say is, well, he's not leading in the polls anymore.
Yeah. Just say you're afraid.
Okay. Are you kidding?
Or just say you don't want to, period. Don't give excuses. Be like, I don't want to.
And that would track.
Yeah.
That would absolutely track with his personality. I don't have to. I don't want to. I'm not going to.
I have more respect. I have more respect for that statement than
people know me and I'm in the pose. Blah, blah, blah.
No, just say you don't want to do it. And then fine. There's a lot of things I don't want to do and I don't do them. And I tell people, I don't want to do it. There you go. Easy.
855-752-4842. Tom from L.A. on the line. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. First off, the chicken, Donald Trump, who can't debate Kamala, and also the fact that he dodges everything. He dodges questions. He dodges everything. I wanted to make you guys aware of something. You may have callers that call up, like Earl did this last hour, and say, I'm a Democrat, and I don't know who I'm going to vote for. I might even vote for Trump. Or they'll use the word Democrat rather than Democratic. Just be aware of that, because the whole right wing out there is trying to paint Kamala Harris as this liar. And, you know, all of these different stereotypes right now are coming out like crazy. And I just want to make you guys aware of it, because Project 2025 is really all that matters, and everyone should Google it if they don't know about it. But that is exactly what's happening right now.
Appreciate it, Tom. Really appreciate you listening. As always, you can always join the conversation as well at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. I agree with you, Greg, in that I would give him more credit if he would just be, act like a 7-year-old. Just own your inner 7-year-old and say, na-na-na-na, boo-boo, I don't want to do it. You can't make me.
Stomp your feet, take your chicken nuggets.
Absolutely. Just embrace your inner 7-year-old.
I love it. I love that.
And as far as Project 2025 goes, Tom, absolutely, we are going to continue to do many, many, many segments on Project 2025, because, Calvin, have that Monty Python clip ready. As much as Donald Trump says he doesn't know what's in it, and yet at the same time disagrees with a lot of things that are in it.
Yeah.
They will continue to do what they are best at, which is... Titties! Is that Gollum?
I have no idea what that was. That was... I've done it again. Okay. Well, we tried.
Runaway.
Runaway. There
Runaway.
It is. Didn't we clip that for you? I thought we clipped that for you. Okay, that's fine. Point is, yeah. There it is. We don't run away from our clips. People might call and say they're Democrats and they're undecided and they might vote for Trump. You know what? There's nothing I can do other than do what we're doing. And if they're plants, they're plants.
Hey, if that's how you make your money and you feel good about it, I guess.
Yeah.
Go forth.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
if you can sleep at night, and okay, good on you.
I big ups to Earl in the earlier handling all those callers. That's what I'm going to say. Those individuals on the call and throw shade and throw fire, and Earl deflected it, and it was amazing. And yeah,
it was spicy.
It was a little spicy. And by the way, folks, just to let you know, we get spicy Calvin too. He's spicy in that booth. And he doesn't say it.
Caliente Calvin.
Calviente.
News is coming up next when we return. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network. You know she's a lot tougher now. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on air.
CBS News brief. In virtual voting, Vice President Harris has secured the delegates needed to become the Democratic presidential nominee, telling supporters,
"As your future president, I know we are up to this fight. And when we fight, everyone will say in unison, we win."
Harris meets with potential running mates this weekend. CBS's Christopher Cruz tells us Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin has revoked a plea deal with three men accused of plotting the 9/11 terror attacks.
In an order released by the Pentagon, Austin said the responsibility for making a decision in the case should rest with him.
The order effectively reinstates the possibility of the death penalty. The United States is bolstering its military presence in the Middle East. CBS's Eleanor Watson reports the Pentagon will move a fighter jet squadron to the region and keep an aircraft carrier there.
The Pentagon, in its statement, says the United States remains focused on de-escalating tensions in the region.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Brewers lose at home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Another rough night for starting pitcher Freddy Peralta. He gave up 2 home runs in the first inning. By the end of the second, the Brewers were losing 5-0 to the Miami Marlins. The Brewers ended up losing the game at home 6-2. Manager Pat Murphy.
Freddy would like to have those pitches back. You know, it's tough to pitch sometimes when you're behind like that, you know, and he did some good things tonight. He didn't have his best stuff.
The two teams meet again tonight. NFL, Jordan Love has a new contract, a 4-year deal worth $255 million, making him the highest paid quarterback in NFL history, $155 million guaranteed, and Love will get a signing bonus of $75 million. So what's next?
Just reps. You know, you just got to get those reps, build that chemistry. Obviously, I've got a good amount of reps through OTAs, but it's different going into training camp. You know, just getting those reps with the guys and building that chemistry with everybody.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Heat and humidity continues this weekend before cooler and less humid weather arrives next week. Clear and a low around 60 tonight. Sunny, hot and humid, and a high in the mid-80s tomorrow. Isolated showers and storms Saturday night and Sunday. High again mid-80s, cooler 70s next week. Currently at 64 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
The moment I walked out of the auditorium, I said, it's our time now. It's the little girls that look like me who wake up with brown skin and sometimes wonder, do they matter? To have someone like Kamala, who is not only qualified, but representative of voices that have been ignored for far too long, it felt like all things are possible.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm sitting in the theater, Conrad. I'm alone. A couple walks in. Where do you think they sat?
Right in front of you.
Right in front of me. You moron. How can you... Spatial awareness. My goodness. Next day, I go to this bathroom. There's like 7 urinals. I'm all the way down in the end. Where do you think this person came in? Not right next to me, but enough where it was weird.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning, we'll be looking back at the weekend highlights from the Paris Olympic Games and talking about the new Democratic presidential ticket.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Buck, Calviente on the board.
Calviente.
Coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that it really annoys Elon if you continue to call it Twitter. Yay. He joins us every Friday at this time for a little recombobulating. He is the author of The Recombobulation Area. Where in the world is Dan Schaefer this morning? Our version of Carmen Sandiego.
Yeah, that's right. For those of you tuning in to the live stream, the background is a little bit different today for me than my usual west side of Milwaukee home office. But today I'm in Western Washington State, where I'm out here for a close friend's wedding that I'm actually going to be officiating. I've never
really?
Done this before, but I'm officiating a wedding for the first time. So we're very involved in this wedding. My wife is the maid of honor. Our daughters are the flower girls.
Cool.
And so I'm going to be up front. I got got ordained online, as many do in this day and age. And I'll be trying this out. Do you guys have any advice for me?
Keep it short.
You guys or anybody on the Civic Media Network here have any advice for me as I get ready to officiate a wedding ceremony?
I would say, remember, they're not there for you.
Maybe not the best time to try out your new stand-up routine.
I have about an hour of material.
That's perfect. Perfect, Dan.
Start out with
perfect.
There.
They love
that's great. That's great.
Everyone,
Greg, you're the comic here. Is that the good place to best place to try out brand new material at somebody's wedding?
It's basically a fancy open mic, and I would say also give it like 30 extra minutes of crowd work. Put it all on TikTok. You and the recombobulation area will go viral. It'll be beautiful, and I want 10%.
sounds good. Let's do it. Let's make it happen. We'll get those algorithm feeds that love crowd work, and I'm sure wedding crowd work, like, what are you doing right now?
I'm getting married. Get on with it, Dan.
Are you nervous at all, Dan?
I am a little bit. I don't usually get all that nervous and speaking in front of people, but you know, it's a new experience, right?
Sure.
I mean, anytime you do something for the first time, it's there's a little bit of nerves with it. Yeah, absolutely.
You're going to be wonderful. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
Just keep it short.
That's right. Well, that's what I've got. I've got it all written out, outlined. I tend to over-prepare, like I'm over-preparing for, you know, an interview with a U.S. senator or something like that.
Well, that's always good. Hey, preparation is key. Preparation is key. We are going to start with talking about some of Wisconsin's congressional races. Of course, the 8th, which is where Mike Gallagher has stepped out, and then, of course, the 3rd congressional district where Derek Van Orden is currently the representative, and things are getting, speaking of a spicy Calvin, things are getting a little bit spicy among the Democratic nominees for that spot.
Yeah, I mean, this is of all of the congressional races in the state for the on the Democratic side, the 3rd congressional district, the primary to see who will take on Derek Van Orden in the general election this fall. A flippable seat, you know, one that has certainly, you know, had both Democrats and Republicans representing that district in recent years. So one that's going to get a lot of attention. There was even news last week that the national Democrats are going to be putting millions of dollars into this race in a way that they didn't in 2022. So, you know, it's certainly going to be a different dynamic, but the Democratic primary is starting to get a little spicy. The top two candidates there, State Representative Katrina Shankland and the other Democratic candidate, Rebecca Cook, starting to go a little negative in a way you don't always see in a Democratic primary. Shankland had an ad a few weeks ago cutting her husband's hair in a not so great way, saying that would you hire a barber who never cut hair before, so why send someone to Congress who's never held public office, with a sign underneath saying Rebecca Cook has never held public office. And then you had another negative ad from a political action group backing Cook this week, talking about, you know, votes that Shankland had taken, accusing her of, you know, working with Republicans to block the governor from expanding badger care. which actually got some pushback from the governor's office, from the spokesperson from the governor's office yesterday, and also some pushback from Democratic U.S. Representative Mark Pocan, who is backing Shankland in this race as well. So, you know, usually with these Democratic primaries, it's usually a friendly affair. This one's gotten a little spicy toward the end of it, you know, where it, like, as we I talked about the other day when I was guest hosting Maggie Don's show, we're early voting is underway. And that August 13th primary is rapidly approaching. So this is a very interesting point for this race to be, you know, coming to kind of a fever pitch with the tone of it right as early voting begins, right as we're headed into that primary.
Are there also some accusations about Rebecca Cook and where she is getting some of her funding?
Yeah, there was another Journal Sentinel piece talking, you know, Cook was saying she's a political outsider, but she, you know, the headline basically from Daniel Bice at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Cook says she's a political outsider, but raked in nearly $200,000 for political work. And she was also endorsed by the Blue Dogs, which she has gotten some criticism for from Pocan, in particular as well.
Well, that's how I came to know the whole thing was Mark Pocan has been tireless in calling Rebecca Cook out on the association, specifically with the Blue Dog, the Dem Blue Dog pack.
Hey, can you explain what that is, Dan, for people who don't know?
Yeah, so it's more of a, you know, the Blue Dogs is like kind of a coalition within the Democratic Party that's a little bit more of a centrist type organization, particularly on foreign policy matters. It's a group that has had its kind of influence and membership diminish in you know, the last few campaign cycles. But I think a couple, you know, representatives who are kind of rising in prominence have brought it back a little bit. I know there's a congressperson from Washington State, coincidence that I'm here, I suppose, but a congressperson from Washington State that is part of the Blue Dogs as well. And she has endorsed Cook as part of the campaign too. So, you know, it's a kind of an interesting position, you know, taking, yeah, she ran kind of more, runs in a lot of progressive type of economic policies, but it's also kind of interesting that she has the backing from the Blue Dogs in this race as well. But she also had, I think this week got an endorsement from SEIU as well. So she's been pretty strong on, you know, a number. She touts the fact that she is, you know, she still waits tables to at nights to make ends meet and things like that, talking about some of her working class background. So it's, you know, it's a really interesting race. And I think, you know, on balance, ultimately, I think it's two pretty solid candidates. Katrina Shankland was somebody that I had, and, you know, in my crazy preview that I do on every state legislative race, hers was one that Republicans were targeting to try to flip her seat in multiple election cycles. And not only did she hold that seat, she was able to expand her margins even as she was being, you know, having spending come against her in those races as well. And at that time, I kind of circled her race and say, if, you know, if there's somebody going to run against Van Orden in the next cycle, maybe she'd be among them. And sure enough, she does run. And then last cycle also, Rebecca Cook running first time in a congressional primary, did a lot better than a lot of people expected. I think got more than a third of the vote there in that primary 2 years ago. So I think, you know, ultimately two pretty strong candidates. Hopefully they don't, you know, use all of their spending against each other. Because they're going to need all they can get against Derek Van Orden, because we know he's going to get some backing from national parties and interest groups and other folks just backing his campaign in his district too.
Well, if Rebecca Cook wins the primary, then doesn't Shankland have to just say what I said before, I don't mean anymore?
Yeah, one of the challenges with going negative in these types of primaries. You want to be able to, you know, unify around a certain candidate come general election time. Hopefully, and we've seen, you know, kind of examples of that where that hasn't been the case. I mean, 2 years ago with the gubernatorial primary in the state, with when it got kind of negative between Tim Michaels and Rebecca Clayfish, you know, I don't know if they had the full kind of unity behind that ticket once Michaels emerged from it as well. So that is something to be aware of going into this general election in a flippable seat.
Well, and I think it's interesting, too, because Derek Van Orden never held a public office before he got elected, did he?
No, I don't believe so.
No.
So, I mean, again, if Rebecca Cook is going to be the nominee, so it's even Stevens then, yeah. You know, she didn't have any experience. He had no prior experience either.
Right. And I don't think it should be disqualifying to have, you know, people from different kinds of backgrounds run for office. But I do, you know, I also value experience. So I do, you know, I do kind of see both sides of this one where, you know, Shanklin being in the state assembly, you know, as a member of the Democratic minority there for more than a decade, you know, and she has touted the ability to pass things in a bipartisan way. And now, you know, there's always a double-edged sword to that, too. That's part of the attack that she's getting right now. And, you know, having a photo standing, you know, next to Republican leaders as they're passing a bill. Do you want people to be rigid, hardline ideologues and not ever work with Republicans? Or do you want to occasionally get things done in the state legislature, too? So it's always there's trade-offs with all of it, Shane. There's trade-offs with all of it.
I think it's to be said that Wisconsinites, for the most part, celebrate bipartisanship when it works and moves things ahead.
We want stuff to get done.
So I can't imagine that like a fair-minded person is going to look at a Democrat standing next to a Republican and go, well, I can't do that. It doesn't mean anything other than they were standing in the same room together. I don't know anything beyond that. So I just wonder if, you know, like what you were saying, Jane, you know, if Rebecca Cook makes it through the primary as the winner, does Pocan come out and say, I endorse you? Because that's even a bigger thing. It's one thing to get your opponents in the primary, but you have a sitting U.S. congressman actively calling her out pretty much every day. Can you get that kind of power back behind you?
That's a good question. And I think it's going to come August 14th when we have a resolution to this primary, you know, it'll be kind of just looking at the final sprint in so many ways for Democrats. I know that Labor Day is always, especially for Senate races, congressional races, that's kind of the unofficial start of when people really turn to their attention to those kinds of races, because you were past the primary, you're into the season where it becomes unavoidable to see in advertising and things like that too. So by Labor Day is everybody going to be on the same page with that race, you know, and there's been a lot of endorsements in that race, you know, on both sides of it, not just Pocan getting into it, but a lot of, you know, individual interest groups, other politicians. You know, I know there's been a number of people in the assembly who've also backed Shanklin, another number of people in kind of political outsiders and other folks who have backed Cook in this race. So it's going to be, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens when all is said and done, but certainly a primary to watch in these final 2 weeks before it. You know, I think the rest of the Democratic primaries are kind of, you know, we know that, you know, Pocan and Cook are going to be, Pocan and Gwen Moore are going to be defending their seats, probably favored to win those. And, you know, races like the 8th with Kristen Lierley getting into it, you know, will, and that one has a pretty intriguing race on the Republican side.
Yes.
We can talk about that one too.
Yeah.
I'm on the Democratic side. I think Peter Barca now doesn't face a primary challenge in the first, getting ready to take on, Brian Stile as well. So I think of the primaries, you know, this is really the one to watch for Democrats.
Well, yeah. And hasn't Derek Van Orden already said that he is not going to debate whoever is his opponent?
I thought I saw something yesterday happening with debates, even within this primary too. There's been, you know, Cook and Shanklin haven't been able to agree on primaries. Van Orden is all over the place with everything, including debates. So who knows?
We're going to keep recombobulating with Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
The Todd Alba Show.
Speaking of J.D. Vance, if you're watching on the stream, you can see behind me what we're now calling the J.D. Vance couch. There are some reports that back in the day, during the frat days of J.D. Vance, he may have gotten intimate with a couch.
So. You know, I've slept on that couch a few times, but I can't say I've slept with that couch, and nor do I plan to.
No.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
Let's go to Lynn from Oconomowoc.
I met Kamala, and she's super intelligent. She will select people who are competent in their field.
So, Sandy, you don't hear those words when it comes to the other guy.
Well, he's going to select loyal people. Project 2025 seems to diminish the notion that there needs to be competence in government.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, we can be coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He joins us every Friday at this time. Dan Schaefer, author of The Recombobulation Area. You should subscribe. It is fantastic. Dan is joining us this morning from a dog ranch in Western Washington State.
I am in Western Washington State. There are a lot of dogs in this neighborhood. I tried to find the quietest place in a very busy house.
No worries.
This morning, just so happens you're getting a lot of barking dogs in the background.
Not a problem.
It is what it is.
It's nice. It's nice and atmospheric. That's all good. It's all good. August 13th is going to be here before we know it. Myvote.wi.gov. Myvote.wi.gov. Go to that website, plug in your address, make sure you are registered. That will have all the information you need for this very important primary on August 13th. And the thing that concerns me about this, Dan, is not only that they intentionally put these amendments to the state constitution during an election where very low turnout is expected. So They're counting on people not being informed and not knowing what's going on and what this would do. And that's why it's on the August 13th primary ballot.
Yeah, it is the first time in Wisconsin's history that we have a question like this on the August partisan primary ballot. Usually you typically see these things in like the spring election. We obviously saw a couple of those this year or perhaps even the fall election. But putting this on a low turnout primary in summer when you don't, college kids aren't on campus,
right?
You don't have a lot of people typically turning out. We ran a piece on these ballot referendum questions at the Recombobulation Area. Phil Rocco wrote it. I encourage you guys to check that piece out. But I think 2 years ago, turnout in the August primary was like 27%.
Oh my gosh.
And that was the highest it had been.
That was high. Oh my.
In like 20 some years. Because, we had a competitive primary between Tim Michaels and Rebecca Clayfish. You had just kind of the tail end of anything happening in the Democratic primary when Mandela Barnes kind of had sewn up the race a couple weeks before that primary happened, but still, a lot of attention paid to it throughout that year as well, and still only a pretty low turnout. So we're going to have a situation that does not have a statewide, a Senate race that's not
right
competitive, no gubernatorial race, attorney general's race, or anything like that on the ballot. So it's really just, the congressional races that we had been talking about. There are a lot of state legislative primaries, more competition, more contested races there than any time in more than a decade with new maps, but that's not really going to drive turnout the way a statewide race might. And I think it is pretty ridiculous that Republicans chose this of all moments for these constitutional amendment questions, because they word them in a very confusing way.
Yes,
these do often pass. I think that more often than not, these referendum questions mm-hmm. pass. I think the only time it didn't in recent years was when Sarah Godlewski ran kind of a one-woman campaign to keep the state treasurer's office and then be elected as state treasurer. And so I think that was, you know, really the only time where a question like this failed. And so, you know, I know Tony Evers has been out there. Ben Wickler has been out there. A number of people talking about these amendments and how they would complicate the governing process in the state of Wisconsin, especially in a moment where there's an emergency. And we know our state legislature is, even if there's an emergency, that doesn't mean they're going to take action on anything for an extended period of time. So I had, you know, some people telling me that they were, thought this, these amendments should be characterized as pro gridlock. So if you like gridlock in government,
I like that.
Vote yes. If you want the elected governor to be able to govern an emergency, maybe vote no on this.
Well, and that's one
we
of
don't
the...
need to be changing the state constitution.
Seriously.
And that's one of the things the Wisconsin GOP has been tweeting out. Their whole phrase has been, do you want the governor to continue to have a slush fund? Like, we had COVID money that you guys didn't want to do anything with. Thank God the governor had control of that money. And there's still money for, we talk about it all the time, and I hate saying the term, but it's PFAS. We want clean drinking water, and they're sitting on $125 million approved, voted on, waiting to put it out. And they're like, nah. And so this would only make, and I'm Dan, that's a great way of putting it. If you want the gridlock to continue,
yes,
and you want money that's coming to us that we have earned and been given, vote no.
Well, and the other thing I think, too, is that now that we finally have fairer maps and things may not go entirely in the Republicans' favor, that's when they do things like this. Is so, okay, fine, you don't like us, you don't like our policies, too bad, we're just going to go around it. We're going to find a way to go around it and do something like this via the state constitution to take more power away from the governor's office and give it to ourselves. And so, yeah, I think pro gridlock is a great way to look at that, Dan. And I just think, too, why do we want to give Robin Voss more of our money to sit on? I have this vision of him in my head, the popcorn king, just sitting on a big pile of cash laughing because, I mean, that's what they do.
He tried to slam Tony Evers yesterday at the state fair about all these different things about, like, we've got record high unemployment and the inflation's out of control. And here's the governor at state fair with cream puffs. Like, he's the governor. It's state fair. Yeah, of course he'd be there. But also then someone, I can't remember who was, tweeted a story about how they are the least effective legislature, I think, in the country. They are currently on month four of their 10-month break.
They're so good at doing nothing. There should be a special award just for that.
Surprised he had time to tweet.
Well, the assembly speaker sure keeps to his own cream puff schedule, like last year when he skipped out on the special session to go to Brazil.
Oh, yeah.
Who paid for that, Dan? Who paid for that?
It's hard to say, but he did leave the state when there was a special session of the legislature called. That's for sure.
It's priorities. It's priorities. Yep. And those aren't the Popcorn King's priorities.
No. Well,
Dan and he spent more than any other state legislator on travel last cycle, too.
Dan Schaefer joins us every Friday at this time from the recombobulation area. You should subscribe. Thank you so much, Dan. Good luck tomorrow. It's going to be great. We will talk to you next week. News is next. Keep it here. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in to the next Devil's Advocates radio show. It's the Kamala Pixar Vice President Edition. We'll introduce you to the candidate Devil's Advocates radio.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted.
A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.